Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Crossroads, where faith and culture meet. I'm Dean Welty, along with Rita Dunaway, and today is part two of our three-part series on the road to election in Virginia that is just around the corner on Tuesday, November 7. We started off last week by talking about the huge differences between the two parties and their platforms. That was an eye-opener for many of us. Our program today will be perhaps even more revealing as we look at the stark contrast between the Republicans and the Democrats in their voting records from the last two sessions of the Virginia General Assembly. But the best, or maybe the worst, is yet to come. That's because our next step in this program will be to examine voter guides on all six people who will be on the ballot for the three state-level offices, that is governor, lieutenant governor, and attorney general, and the differences between them and where they stand on nearly all of the key issues. So all of this will then set the table for part three next week, just before the election, when we pull everything together to talk about the vote itself. Why bother? I'm only one person, so what difference does it make anyway? Well, you hear it. You hear it, Rita. So let's get started. And we have an old friend back with us today to walk through this with us. He is Chris Friend, a name familiar to many of you, Vice President for Government Relations and Communications with the Family Foundation of Virginia. And he is the man who's the responsible for putting all of this information together for us, both the voting report cards and the voter guides that we'll be discussing today. Now, let me be clear. There is no one better qualified in the Commonwealth to talk about all of this. In fact, some of you may remember that the Valley Family Forum presented Chris with the Wilberforce Award at our annual God and Country Dinner last year. Chris, it's great to have you with us from Richmond. Welcome to Crossroads.
Dean, that's a really big buildup. You were great for my ego. You know that?
Yes.
I really appreciate it.
I will say we prayed for all of us before we got started, so you're included.
Awesome. Chris, before we go any further, I just want to say a personal thank you, and I know I speak for many of our listeners in thanking you for the work that you put into even just creating the voter guides and report cards. I know you do so much more than that, especially during session. But, you know, the average citizen just doesn't have the time in their day to do all the research that they really would need to do in order to cast an informed vote and vote their values. So thank you for making that possible. Now, I know many of our listeners remember you from being with us before, but for those who don't, could you tell us a little bit about the Family Foundation, its mission, and how you came into this work?
Oh, sure, Rita, absolutely. Family Foundation exists where public policy and culture and our biblical worldview meet. And our mission is to really empower families in Virginia to be able to apply their biblical worldview and our founding principles to policy and culture. And you know, our entire goal is to help educate, as you said, those voters who don't have the time to be able to look at every vote, look at every issue, really dig deeply into the candidates. And that's one of our primary missions, to make sure that people can do that and have the information, be able to vote in a well-educated way or as educated as possible. And you know, I've been at the Family Foundation for 15 years and have seen a lot of change in Virginia, some good, some not so good. But this is a mission that everybody that's here is called to do. You don't get into this arena, and especially advocating for the values that you and I share and that we all share and your listeners share, by accident. You do it because you really believe that God has called you to do it. Mm-hmm. And everyone here believes that and is working really to just make the Commonwealth a better place for our families. And we believe in the principles that God espoused for us are the best way for our communities and our families to flourish. And that's really our ultimate goal.
Well, Chris, thanks. Just a word, though. How did you get into the work personally?
Dean, I really had an interest in politics from the time I was a kid and did some different things with a teacher for a while, but kept feeling this call into public policy. And so I got a graduate degree in policy and worked for a national policy organization, Christian Coalition, for a while. And then I worked for a previous governor in Virginia and in his press office. And then the opportunity of the Family Foundation came along, and I knew some folks here, and it just really worked out. And I just, as I look back and see how the doors opened and the pathway was laid down, it's just clear to me that it's exactly where God wanted me, even when I wasn't sure exactly what was going on or what was happening. When you find that place, and if you've ever seen the movie Chariots of Fire, where the runner says, you know, when he runs, he feels God's pleasure. He knows he's in the place where God wants him to be. And even in the midst of the hardest battles up here, and Rita, you've experienced it, walking the halls of the General Assembly and the frustrations and those things. But there's also those moments where you just know that regardless of the outcome, the principles we believe in, God's principles, need a voice. Legislators need to be reminded that they aren't God.
Yes.
But there's a God they're going to be answering to and are accountable to, even beyond the voters. And we just want to make sure that they're well aware that those principles exist. And it's just bigger than them, and it's bigger than anyone here. Mm-hmm. And it's why legislators pray before session. It's why boards of supervisors and school boards should pray to remember they're going to be held accountable to someone much bigger and much more holy than they.
Now, just to put our feet to the road on all of this and to find out how you do it and why you do it and what effect it will have on us, as I mentioned, we've already done a program on the platform, but we're going to cover two things with you right now. And we're going to start with the Family Foundation's voter report card in helping us understand the differences between the two parties and how those differences reveal themselves in actual votes at the Virginia General Assembly and why it matters. Help us out with that and how that can become a tool for us when we go to the voting booth on November 7 to inform us about the clear choices that we have.
Sure. Well, the report card is really a snapshot of some votes that take place over two General Assembly sessions. And the General Assembly will vote on 2,000 bills in a session. It's a crazy process and a busy process. And obviously, every single one of those bills affects the family in one way or another. But at the Family Foundation, ACTION, our five principles of life and marriage and religious liberty, parental authority, constitutional government, determine which bills we're involved in. And we pick a handful of those over the two sessions that we believe are reflective of where legislators stand on these key values issues. And these are everything from homeschool sports, the Tebow bill, to protecting pastors and religious liberty, to defunding Planned Parenthood. So trying to include taxes and some constitutional government issues. So it's broad-based, and it covers a host of issues, and it's based on their votes. It's not based on their words. It's not based on their websites. It's not based on what they'll tell you. When push comes to shove, what matters is how they're going to push that button, a yes or a no on these key issues. And the report card reflects that. And you can look at your individual legislators to see how they voted and whether or not you agree with their votes. And then you can look at a snapshot of over the couple of years or a few sessions. And on the report card, we do a historical average by party to see which party more closely reflects the values that we share and which doesn't.
Well, Chris, I'm particularly fascinated by that. You said you have a snapshot of each of the parties. Can you just tell us what the average percentage is between the Democrats and the Republicans on these core family values bills?
Sure. And this particular report card for the 2016 and 2017 sessions, the overall average for the General Assembly was 67%. Republicans were at about 93%. And unfortunately, Democrats came in at about 17%.
Oh, my goodness.
A stark difference.
You know, that's a precipitous drop in just a few years.
Yes.
I think it's important to note that as late as 2009, Democrat vote was in the 30s on the report card. Mm-hmm. And so it has dropped a lot. And it just is, it shows the fragmentation the division that has really permeated politics in America. There's just very little middle ground anymore, and it's sad.
Just to be clear on this, Chris, for maybe people who don't have experience with these report cards and the way they work, it would be theoretically possible for both parties to get 100%, right? We're not like pitting them against the other and they're competing over. It's not a zero-sum game.
No, exactly.
Okay.
This is just based purely on their vote.
Yep.
And when we select the bills, normally, you know, when we go into session, we know what our priorities are, and legislators, very clear. Legislators know which bills we care about. We testify on them. They get emails about them. They get talking points. There's no surprises.
Yep.
No one should be surprised that something is on here. And Democrats have that information. They know what bills the Family Foundation cares about. But it's just reflective of the values of the, I think, of at least the representatives in the General Assembly of the two parties in Virginia.
How can our listeners access these report cards?
It's on our website, familyfoundation.org, and there's a picture, a slider at the top of the report card and also in the menu if they click report card. And they can look at previous report cards on that page too. We have several of our past, so they can see how consistent their elected officials have been over the years to get a really good idea of where they've stood on these issues.
Great. And can you give us an idea about members of our Valley delegation and their voting records? What will we find? What kind of picture does the report card paint of the legislators who represent the Shenandoah Valley?
Well, I think the folks in the Valley would be very proud of the delegation that's from your area, and not just in voting. You can look at the report card and it shows votes, but many of the bills that this report card is based on are introduced by legislators from the Valley. Mm-hmm. Delegate Klein and Delegate Landes and Senator Obenchain and others have carried legislation from for us and on many of these issues over the years. And so I think it's not just votes, but it's carrying bills, it's leading on these issues, it's being a voice in the General Assembly for many of these issues. So I think your listeners can be very proud of your delegation.
Chris, I just want to add one more thing. You talked about the huge gap between the legislators in the 90% for the Republicans and the teens for the Democrats, but there's one more player in this, and I think you probably can imagine who I'm talking about. Even after your priority bills get passed by both chambers, the governor vetoed 9 of them. He's clearly a Democrat. We know that. Does he then reflect this general voting record that we find throughout the General Assembly? Does this say that the Democrats are opposed to these pro-family bills just sort of across the board? And the importance of a governor in this whole process.
Well, absolutely. I think that the governor is reflecting where his party stands on many of these issues in a lot of ways. And, you know, he's very proud of the more than 100 vetoes that he's had in his 4 years, more than, I believe, any governor in Virginia history. He's proud of that. He's celebrated that. He has fancied himself a brick wall, as he says, against pro-life legislation and pro-religious liberty legislation. And it is unfortunate because I think that it's out of touch with a lot of Virginians, but it goes to show, you know, if you don't show up and vote, if you don't take that responsibility seriously, if you think your vote doesn't matter, it certainly does. And it's we've got an election in just a couple of weeks. It's going to be very, very reflective of where we are in Virginia and where we are really as a nation right now.
And I should remind our listeners that all of our Valley delegates are up for re-election on November 7. And of course, we'll be considering our votes for governor, lieutenant governor, and attorney general. We'll get to that in just a minute.
I just want to piggyback quickly on something that Chris said. So many of us complain about what happens in government, whether it's state, local, federal. We all do it, I think. I don't know anyone who doesn't complain about things that happen in government. But if you're not out there voting, I think you better just keep your complaint to yourself, because you are enabling the problems to happen if you are not actively participating in government. And voting is the baseline for participation.
To paraphrase Bonhoeffer, I think not to vote is a vote.
Yeah, that's an interesting paraphrase.
People are frustrated, obviously. They're very frustrated with the process, with elected officials, with government. But our vote is our voice.
Right.
It's one way that we can send a message. And in Virginia, elections are getting closer and closer and closer. Remember, we have an attorney general right now who won by just 165 votes. That's one large church in Virginia.
Wow. Yes.
And so just a handful of people made a difference in the last election. And I think that it's possible that all three of the statewide elections are going to come down to a very small number this year.
Yep.
Well, Chris, again, just to extend on that, I think it's common knowledge that Northern Virginia represents one side of the voting bloc on these issues, whereas we see the Shenandoah Valley and other parts of Virginia, central Virginia, southwestern Virginia, as really representing the pro-family values voter side. And am I correct to draw the conclusion that that makes it all the more important that those people who share our values, our Judeo-Christian values, our constitutional principles, really need to get out and vote our values on November 7th? But I'll use that as a segue. Can you go over the voter guide with us? We have three state-level candidates up for election, governor, a lieutenant governor, and attorney general. You've done a tremendous amount of work getting information about each of these. Can you summarize where each of these candidates stand on the issues that we care so deeply about?
Well, actually, before you summarize, can you explain how you collect the information?
Good.
And for people who look at the voter guide, there's an abbreviation NR. I think it stands for no response. What does that mean? How do you collect the information?
Sure, absolutely. The voter guides are different than the report cards because the report cards are only incumbents and based on voting record. Our voter guides are an education piece for a specific election where we pick about 10 issues, and they vary. There's life, again, religious liberty, constitutional government, and we send a survey to all the candidates and ask them to give us their position on those issues. If they don't return the survey, then we also look, if they're an incumbent and have a voting record, we will use that. Then we look for public statements. We look at their website. We look at their press releases. We look at what they've said to the news media. Anywhere that they've been, we try to find where they've taken a position on one of the particular issues that we have on the report card. If we cannot find an answer and they have not returned a survey, then a no response. We're not going to guess at what they may or may not be. You know, they can say, oh, I'm pro-life, but that doesn't mean they're in favor of particular pro-life legislation. We've seen that, where people claim to be pro-life and then voted against pro-life bills. So we're very, very specific in what we say, and if they don't respond, then they get a no response on the voter guides. And so we really try to make the voter guide something that is very educational, so that you can look at it, and we have a statewide voter guide for the governor, lieutenant governor, and attorney general race, and then we have regional voter guides for certain counties and larger urban areas, and then individual voter guides. So for the Valley, if you want to look at a voter guide for the Ben Klein race or Steve Landy's race or Tony Will, any of your Valley legislators, you can go to our website, again, familyfoundation.org, and look at those voter guides. You can also order quantities of the statewide voter guide if you want to distribute them in your church. Mm-hmm. And I think if you look at the report card, you're going to see in general, particularly in the governor's race, very different candidates. You're going to look at two people who I don't think agree on any one of the values issues that we have, and both have long records of public comment and taking position on many of these issues. Not as much difference in the lieutenant governor's race, except for a couple of issues of perhaps religious liberty and some school choice issues where there's a great degree of difference.
And then the Attorney General's race, again, some very clear, stark differences between the two. So hopefully it's a guide that will help people be more educated on these values issues. And I'm hoping that it's something that they'll take to their churches and distribute to their friends in their churches, their civic groups, homeschool co-ops, everywhere we can to make sure that people are educated and know there is an election. I don't know if you all saw this, but there was a story just the other day, and I think the Washington Post said that fewer Virginians are following this particular governor's race than any of the previous two or three governor's races. Mm-hmm. So turnout is likely to not be very high, and that's, again, another reason to really start paying attention and get our folks out to the polls to vote.
Chris, we only have a couple minutes left. Time flies, but I wonder if you could just walk us through, let's take the governor's voter guides as an example. What are some of the core issues and what positions do each of the candidates take?
Well, I think something like redirecting taxpayer funding away from Planned Parenthood to community health centers. I think that a lot of your listeners probably care very passionately about not allowing Planned Parenthood to be funded. Stark difference. Ralph Northam is a strong proponent of Planned Parenthood. Ed Gillespie supports redirecting funding away from Planned Parenthood. On school choice, there is a huge difference. Education savings accounts, parental involvement in curriculum, there's differences between the two on that. They have very different viewpoints of religious liberty. Right now, under Terry McAuliffe, faith-based organizations are being discriminated against because they have a belief that marriage is between a man and a woman. Mm-hmm. Ralph Northam supports that policy. Ed Gillespie opposes it. So I think there are some key differences on issues that people should be worried about, should be concerned with, should be paying attention to. The Pain Capable Bill, prohibiting abortion from the midpoint of pregnancy because science indicates that unborn children feel pain. Ralph Northam opposes that bill. Ed Gillespie has indicated support. So some very important issues that I think people will want to know where their candidates stand.
Well, Chris, how would you summarize what's at stake in this election on November 7th? How will the outcome affect our families and the work that you do in promoting our core family values in the General Assembly?
You know, Rita, part of why we're here is to make sure that the church community, can continue to impact their communities and do the things that are necessary to make sure the gospel can be spread. There's a lot of effort in government to, frankly, limit that impact, particularly when it comes to faith-based organizations. We've seen the abortion rate in Virginia decline over the last several years, in part because of the policies that have been passed. Now we're seeing efforts to repeal some of that. Over the last 4 years, we've had a governor that has blocked every single effort we've made to try to save more unborn children, to try to protect religious liberty. And if we want to have 4 more years of that constant block of those issues, then there's a candidate that'll do that. If we want to see something change, if we want to see some movement on these values issues and the legislation that many of your Valley legislators introduce, then there's a candidate who wants to help with that. And not just that, but there's a message to the rest of the country that these issues still matter, that our voting block, that social conservative values voters can make a difference in an election. And I believe truly that they will in this election, whether they stay home or whether they vote. And I think the values voters in the Valley and Southwest Virginia and Southside Virginia are going to make the difference in this election one way or another. I'm hoping they make a difference by turning out and voting.
Well, Chris, just as an example of the importance of the governor and the attorney general, we just have to go back to the marriage amendment to the Constitution that Virginia approved. And then as soon as Governor McAuliffe and Attorney General Herring came to office, they fought against that amendment and acted to overturn it. That is, I think, a classic test case for the importance of electing state-level leaders, governor, lieutenant governor, and attorney general, someone who will support these values and fight for them.
Well, and then, of course, the governor's veto power that we talked
exactly.
about earlier. If we exactly. have a governor who's going to veto every pro-family law that actually makes it through the General Assembly, we've got a big problem.
Yep.
And he has a bully pulpit and can
yes.
continue to talk about these issues in negative ways. And
yep.
that's been key, too.
Well, I would just make one more point about the importance of the governor. Isn't he the one who has a very important role in redrawing boundary lines for our next congressional and legislative districts?
And this year's House race and then the House and Senate races in 2 years are going to have big impact on redistricting after the 2020 census. So, yeah, there are a lot of issues.
Yeah.
You mentioned the marriage amendment. You know, we're in the middle of a lawsuit against Terry McAuliffe right now, and frankly, Mark Herring, because Mark Herring is representing Terry McAuliffe over an illegal effort to undo abortion center health and safety
yeah.
standards, where
yeah.
they clearly violated the law and ignored the law to do that. And we've had to take them to court to try to reverse that. There's more than enough reasons for people to turn out to vote.
Well, again, Chris, we just want to thank you for all the work you're doing. I want to give you just a second, though, to tell our listeners how they can contact you so that they might be able to help you in your work.
Again, if you go to our website, familyfoundation.org, report cards there, the voter guides are there, a way to sign up for our information email alerts to be able to be informed, and then when the General Assembly is in town, engaged, all of our contact information is on there. My email address, I'm always happy to give information and to encourage people to be involved. So if somebody wants to reach out to me about questions about any of these documents, they're free to do so, and I'm happy to talk with them.
Thank you so much, Chris, for being with us. And I want to thank our listeners for joining us today and just encourage each person listening today to take a little bit of time, do this research. Chris and the work of the Family Foundation have made it easy for us. Take a few minutes to find out who stands for what and then get ready to go out and vote your values, whatever they may be. If you would like to listen to this program again or share it with your friends, just go to our website at valleyfamilyforum.org and click on the link to Crossroads on the homepage. I want to thank two of our great sponsors, Blue Ridge Chimney Services and the dental practice of Dr. Scott Dunaway. And as always, we're so grateful for your prayers, your encouragement, and your generous financial support. If you'd like to make a donation to help keep Crossroads on the air, you can do so by check to P.O. Box 881, Harrisonburg, Virginia 22803. Thanks again for joining us. I'm Rita Dunaway with Dean Welty and engineer Robbie Meadows, inviting you to join us again next week at the Crossroads where faith and culture meet.
Rejoice, 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 rej